been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the paths of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure fooled you. We're walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome aboard. Well, welcome back. Jeff Metcalf with you here on WorldNet Daily Radio. For the last, 10 years or so, I've been talking to a variety of people about questions surrounding taxes, specifically the 16th Amendment. Bill Benson has done a superb job of documenting over 17,000 pieces of notarized paper confirming that the 16th Amendment was never properly ratified. Larry Beecraft, the chief counsel for the Wallace Institute. We had him on recently. D.V. Kidd has been a frequent guest. Bill Conklin, his approach is the Fifth Amendment. You're, violating your self-incrimination thing. Joe Bannister, I love the guy, but I also feel a little bit guilty in having contributed to his epiphany that resulted in him leaving the IRS, where he was a badge-carrying, gun-carrying special agent. One of the guys who's at the very epicenter of this whole controversy surrounding the non-ratification of the 16th Amendment is with an organization called We the People, not to be confused with Jerry Brown's old outfit. Bob Schultz has been putting on a series of events, and there's a new one coming up I want to tell you about. Bob, good afternoon, sir.
Hi, good to be with you, Jeff.
Good to have you here. Before we get into this walk-around protest, why don't you first tell people what happened a couple of years ago at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C.?
Well, you mentioned Joe Bannister. I had learned in February of 1999 that an IRS agent working out of the San Jose office in California had resigned after determining that he could no longer enforce the Internal Revenue Code as though payment were compulsory when he had determined it was voluntary. This was interesting. I called Joe at home. We spoke. He told me about his research report, which he had put on the web, freedomabovefortune.com. I read that 95-page report. It was a good report, good, solid report.
I almost choked the first time I read it. I got through the first page, and I said, oh, my God.
Right. You know, after 87 years of an income tax, after being led to believe, educated, that you have to pay your taxes,
and miseducated,
and everyone is, and that it's legal, that you have to pay your taxes and die. I mean, who questioned it? All my life, I'm now 61 years old. But in 1999, I talked with Joe, read his work. He led me to Bill Benson. I read Bill's work, became quite familiar with it, and Bill Conklin's work, and met Larry Beecraft, spoke with him, and so forth. And I was in a tough spot. Our foundation was in a tough spot.
If you talk with Larry Beecraft, you probably listened more than you talked.
Yeah, right. And he's so prolific. I mean, he's got a wonderful website as well. And but in any event, we found ourselves in a tough spot. On the one hand, here was this very substantial. I mean, I have an engineering degree. I have a master's in business and finance. I completed most of the coursework for a PhD in public administration. I've had significant positions in government, on Wall Street, in industry.
Joe Bannister was a CPA with a Big Six accounting firm before he went to the IRS.
Sure. I mean, these were not, people sitting, alongside the railroad tracks without two nickels to rub together.
They were
educated people.
These were not guys in camouflage dragging their knuckles on the ground.
Exactly. They were middle-class, well-educated people with a lot at stake and a lot to lose. And so we had a tough. We were in a tough spot. What do you do? I just couldn't let it drop. And so we thought, well, the thing to do would be to schedule an academic symposium and invite and fly in at our expense, fly in all of these people, get Joe Bannister and Bill Benson and Bill Conklin and Larry Beecraft and D.V. Kidd, get them all to the National Press Club and invite the government to send, to identify their most knowledgeable people, their experts on the subject, and have them participate.
Throw rocks at these people. Discredit them.
Sure. Give the government an opportunity to show these people the error of their ways, embarrass them, put this issue to bed once and for all.
I've been saying that for 10 years, Bob.
Right. So we sent copies of Bill Benson's two-volume work. You know, the thing must weigh 10 pounds. And Joe's report, his 95-page report, Bill Conklin's report, we sent copies, we attached them. And we included them with a letter that we sent to, we didn't know who else to send it to. So we sent it to the IRS commissioner, to the president, to the speaker, Hastert, and to the Senate majority leader, Lott. Very respectfully said, look, here's the evidence. Here are copies of these research reports.
Please come and refute it.
Yeah, and we need to get to the truth. Obviously, a number of people have become familiar with the facts contained in these reports and now believe that absent a proper constitutional amendment, Congress is prohibited by the Constitution from requiring individual citizens of the 50 states to file and pay an income tax, or a Social Security tax for that matter. In other words, they're prohibited from imposing a direct tax on the people without state-by-state apportionment, and that, in fact, citizens are not now required to file and pay, we said. But yet, we said, a growing number of people are losing their homes, going to prison, and otherwise being subjected to financial penalties and emotional stress for either falling behind on their payments or legitimately deciding that they do not have to pay. So we said to these men, obviously, the current situation cannot be allowed to continue. We need to get to the truth of the matter. So we told them.
Well, see, you're seeking facts, not an evidence, because from their perspective, certainly the current situation can continue.
Well, we said, look, and we wrote to them on May 5th, a full 2 months, or almost 2 months before the event, which was scheduled for July 1st and 2nd at the National Press Club. And we never even received an acknowledgement of a receipt of the invitation. No word at all. Not even, you know, thank you for your invitation. So we went ahead with the conference, the symposium.
And C-SPAN carried it, the
C-SPAN
first one.
C-SPAN covered it live and rebroadcast it, you know, 4 or 5 days in the succeeding days, which was wonderful. And at the end of that conference, there was a question from the audience on national television, on C-SPAN. What now? I mean, what does a free people do when they're up against a government that is obviously, or apparently,
abusing power under the color of authority?
Exactly. Stepping outside the boundaries that the people have drawn around its power, taking possession, if you will, of a in Jefferson's words, taking possession of a boundless field of power no longer capable of definition, and they will not justify their position. What does a free people do? So we decided we would return to the National Press Club in November and discuss it and debate it further and decide what to do. Well, we did. People from 16 states returned to Washington or gathered at the National Press Club on November 13th of 1999. Joe was back, Bill was back, Larry was back, they were all back. And we put the
And I'm sure C-SPAN was anxious to cover it again, given the fact that you were such a big ratings grabber for them.
We expected, of course, they would be there again, but they didn't show. We suspect that, we imagine...
They got the memo.
What's that?
They got the memo.
Yeah, they got a telephone call or a memo, right. If you've been in the offices of the, the Senate... or house buildings in Washington, you know that all of the offices have at least one, often two or three, television sets, and they're all tuned to C-SPAN. Could you imagine on July 2nd when C-SPAN was broadcasting the conference live and Bill Benson is saying, come get me, I haven't paid income tax, you know, since 1986. And Joe Bannister is giving his report, and everyone's giving their report, and we're reporting that the federal government chose or evaded the event, just chose not to attend. Obviously, you know, jaws must have dropped over there in all those offices, and we suspect that the telephone calls were made. And so the next event in November, C-SPAN was expected but was a no-show. We expected somebody must have reached out to them. But in any event, We had a very good session. We put the finishing touches to a remonstrance. Now, a remonstrance is a word used more frequently in the early days of the country. It's a strong state. What it means is it's a strong statement of grievances that the people submit to their government. So we prepared, put the finishing to people from 16 states, put the finishing touches to a remonstrance.
Robert, hold on a second. Would you one second, please?
Sure.
I got to take a brief pause when we come back. I want you to explain the remonstrance and what happened with that and what's happening next.
Sure.
We're talking to Bob Schultz from We the People. I'm Jeff Metcalf. Don't go away. Speaking with Bob Schultz from We the People. He's the guy who put on all those seminars at the National Press Club with Larry Beecraft and Bill Benson, D.V. Kidd, all those folks. And eventually, in the wake of the first two, they came up with this remonstrance. Well, explain to our audience what that was, Bob.
A remonstrance, again, is a strong statement of grievances that the people submit to their government. And in this case, of course, it was a two-page statement regarding the fraudulent nature of the income tax system. And the folks gathered at the National Press Club in November. We decided that we would deliver the remonstrance to the leaders of all three branches, not just the executive and legislative branch, but the judicial branch as well, because of the role the courts have played in this apparent hoax for so many years, and that we would do so, we would deliver it on April 13th, that we would return to Washington on April 13th, and we had hoped, we expressed the hope, that we, a delegation representing all 50 states, a delegation of people representing all 50 states, would be able to gather at the National Press Club on April 13th and walk over to the White House and deliver the remonstrance for the president and then walk up to the Capitol and so forth. And that we would, in November, we decided we would put the remonstrance on the website so that people could read it and sign it electronically if they chose to. And by April 13th, we had thousands and thousands of people had signed electronically the remonstrance. And sure enough, we had a delegation representing all 50 states gather on April 13th at the National Press Club. We walked over to the White House.
That's a pretty significant thing. You'd think that maybe ABC, NBC, CBS, C-SPAN might show up with something like that.
Well, you know, we did properly inform the media. There's a wire service called U.S. Wire Service, and you hire them, and they send the release out to some 376 media outlets, most of them located right there in the National Press Building. But in any event, we walked over to the White House. Joe Bannister and I had an appointment inside the White House with a videographer. We were allowed to bring our videographer into the meeting. While the entire delegation waited outside the White House, Joe Bannister and I went in and met with President Clinton's economic advisor, a fellow named Jason Furman. And on tape, he accepted the remonstrance for the president, and he promised that he would have the National Economic Council, which is a major White House department, review the evidence. And he went further. He was the executive director of the National Economic Council. But he went further, and he said he would have White House lawyers and historians review it. And we said that we would be returning, we would like to return to Washington in June, and that again, we requested that the government identify their experts and have them participate in a public forum to address these allegations of fraud, the fraudulent adoption of the 16th Amendment, and the illegal operations of the income tax system. And on tape, he expressed agreement to meet in June when at the upcoming conference. So we were delighted. I remember walking out of his office in
the
White House.
He stroked you real good, didn't he?
Yeah, right. Well said. Well, I remember walking out of his office down the hallway.
Had smoke coming out of your shorts.
Well, the door closed behind us, Jeff, and I remember Joe saying, "Bob, I think we hit a home run." And I said, "We'll see." You know, he was just, it couldn't have gone better. We went outside, we briefed the whole delegation, delegates, to this for this deliverance of the remonstrance, all waiting outside. They were thrilled. We walked up, the entire delegation walked up to the Capitol, where we met with, by agreement, we met with Dennis Hastert's policy director, a guy named Dr. William Ketzel, on tape, same results, accepted the remonstrance for the speaker, promised to have not only the policy group there in the Capitol, Hastert's policy group, review it, but also tax experts on House Ways and Means would review the evidence.
Now, did any of these guys making all these promises to you say within 2 weeks, within a month, within a year, within a decade?
No, but they all expressed agreement to participate in the... See, this was April 13th when we met. They expressed agreement to meet with us to identify their people and have them, their experts, and have them meet in this public forum in June, at the upcoming June conference. So Joe and I were thrilled. We walked around to the Senate side of the Capitol and met with Keith Hennessey in Lott's office, in his inner office, with a videographer present. Keith Hennessey accepted the remonstrance for the majority leader, promised to have the Senate Finance Committee tax experts review it, and et cetera.
Checks
we were thrilled.
Checks in the mail. I always wore cowboy boots. Yeah.
Right. So we were thrilled. And the word went around the tax honesty movement in America that this was going to happen. And people were amazed, you know, that finally the government was going to address these allegations of fraud and the illegal operations of the income tax
system. No. They said they were going to.
Well, you know, we took them at their word, right? So we began to prepare for the June 29th conference. And on June 2nd, I called the White House, spoke to Jason Furman, and this is a quote. He said, "Mr. Schultz, the legality of the income tax is not a high priority matter for the White House, and we will not be participating in any conference on the subject." So in other words, if it's illegal, it's okay. I mean, that's what he said.
Not a high priority.
Not a high priority matter for the administration.
They're trying to determine how to define the word is. That's a higher priority
right,
to them.
They're busy with that, right. So we were stunned. I mean, we were really disappointed. We decided to go ahead with the June conference.
Well, now, wait a minute. So that's from the White House. But what happened when you spoke to Hastert's people and Lott's people?
Then I called Ketzel, and now this was June 2nd, and I told him what we had, you know, I suspected they had all been, it was pretty clear to me that they had all been talking with one another and that this was going to be their approach. But
so you Ketzel called them, you said, okay, we got blown off at the White House. What are you guys going to do?
Yeah, right. So Ketzel said, well, gee, Bob, I'm sorry, you know, we haven't done anything with your request yet. It's still here in my outbox, you know, or my inbox or whatever. It hadn't moved out of his office. So it was clear. And Hennessey would not answer his phone. So we went ahead with the conference anyway on June 29th. Very successful conference. We had Ed Vieira. You know, the nation's leading...
Real smart guy.
Yeah, very smart. Great author. Understands the nation's money system and the Federal Reserve like, I guess, no one else. Very smart. And powerful conference. But at the end of that conference, after the conference, we decided, all right, enough of this evasion by the federal government. We better... at some point, evasion becomes admission. And I guess we've reached that point. Now it is necessary to begin to, most Americans don't have a clue as to these issues. Now it's necessary to bring this information before the attention of the general public.
Actually, one of the reasons I wanted to get you on today particularly is in April, WorldNet Day, we put out this monthly print magazine called mm-hmm. WorldNet Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And in the April issue, we're focusing exclusively just on this very issue. And mm-hmm. Alan Keyes is writing something, Harry Brown's writing something, I'm writing something, Joe mm-hmm. Farah, David Kapelian, Dewey Foster. Mm-hmm. And we're covering everything from Bill Benson, Larry B. Kraft, Joe Bannister, D.V. Kidd, Bill Conklin, and explaining to people the apportionment thing,
mm-hmm.
explaining to people the controversy about Section 205 and all that other stuff, mm-hmm. so it'll be there.
Mm-hmm. You know, the apportionment thing that you mentioned is so important, Jeff. We find that when you... You know, we've now run 3 full-page ads in the USA Today.
You got another one coming out soon, right?
Yeah, another a week from today. Another the fourth one will be out a week from today. But we find that most people have a noise barrier. You know, you can't get through this noise barrier. They can't focus on what you're saying because they're saying, well, my gosh, if you don't have the income tax, you know, who's going to fix the bridges? Who's going to defend the country and so forth? And what we need to do...
What we need to do is take a brief pause.
Okay, got it.
I'll be back, and we'll get into the solution to the problem in a moment with Bob Schultz from We the People. I'm Jeff Metcalf, and this is WorldNet Daily Radio. Run, that way. 34 minutes past the hour. Jeff Metcalf here. We're speaking with Bob Schultz from We the People. And there's been a series of events that have, they've had all these meetings at the National Press Club. They did the remonstrance that was sent to all three branches of government. And now we come up to the next stage. Bob?
Yeah, well, we have run a series of full-page ads in the USA Today to bring the information out before the general public.
Not cheap.
No, $62,730 per issue, per ad. And we've now run three of them. We'll be running another one a week from today. People should not assume or should not take the position. We do need help, Jeff. People should understand that many hands make light work. And it's so important to get this information. Most Americans don't have a clue. So you have to get before the TV screen. You have to get in the dominant media as well as the alternative media.
I spilled my coffee last week. I actually saw you on, was it O'Reilly or?
Brit Hume. Yeah. But you've got to get before, you've got to get on the dominant media if you're going to put this information out before most Americans, because that's where most Americans are at the moment.
Which is difficult when the dominant media is, you know, complicit with the government in suppressing this information.
Precisely. If you look at their news reports, you know, they're calling the employers who have stopped withholding tax cheats. So you have to buy the space, and it is expensive. So we ask people to go to our website, become informed, and if they agree with our position, go ahead and send donations to the foundation, because the ads are expensive, and but you know, we have them written. They're ready to go. They're powerful. Each one is hard hitting and aggressive, but they are expensive. So
I want to ask you. And by the way, folks, it's www.wethepeople.org, and I'll have it. It's linked in the story we have in WorldNet Daily today that John Daugherty wrote. It'll also be sent out in my show notes to those of you that receive it.
Need to make a correction, Jeff. It's www.givemeliberty.org.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's givemeliberty.org. Is the website.
Okay, givemeliberty.org.
Right.
And there, okay. I just got it hot linked, so I'm sorry for that error. Mm-hmm. The thing I wanted to ask you is now that these ads are coming out in USA Today,
mm-hmm.
what kind of reaction are you getting? I mean, I've been talking to... I first talked to Bill about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've had DV on for about 9 years now. I mean, it's kind of regulars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been perceived as kind of, that's kind of interesting academic argument, but, you know, it's radical right-wing wacko stuff, and what does that have to do with me? Now, all of a sudden, it's starting to make its way, even if you happen to buy your way into the mainstream. What kind of response is it creating, and are the people in control starting to feel any of the heat?
Obviously, they are. We find, for instance, that there is a memo that we have that it's an internal IRS memo announcing that they are putting special teams in each of the districts to counter the USA Today ads. You find in
How do they counter the facts, though? I mean, this is the awkward thing.
Yeah, they don't explain, but they're going to counter. What does that mean? They're going to come down with a heavy hand or a steel fist, you know, and crack down. I don't know, Jeff. I don't know, but that's what the
memo says. Bill Benson's been inviting them for over a decade to, you know, drag his bony butt into court, and they ignore him.
Sure, because he knows, because he has the facts. He knows he has the proper legal arguments. I guess what it means is they're going to step up their activity and prey on people who are vulnerable, people who don't, who hear that the 16th Amendment wasn't ratified, or who hear that there is no law that requires them to file or pay, or that requires their employer to withhold.
Yeah, but some of these
really don't understand all the facts.
People who do understand the facts, who are, you know, willfully failing to file,
mm-hmm.
have the resources to take it to court. And are they going to go after those folks?
I don't know. They're not going after. Well, Dave Bossett did receive early last week, a notice from the IRS asking him to appear in their offices on Wednesday.
I just received today a copy of his Freedom of Information Act request.
Okay. Yes. And
I haven't read it yet. It's 11 pages long.
Yeah. Well, he's got a sample motion to dismiss attached to a letter that he has sent back to the IRS, which I've received, and it's very well done. But in any event, he received a notice to appear. Now, 60 Minutes 2 is working on has been working on a piece which they're going to air on April 10th.
I've told Joe Bannis to stay away from him like the plague, but yeah.
Right. But in any event, the producer of 60 Minutes 2 said to Bossett, we'd like to film that meeting. And Bossett said, great, I'd like to have you there. He notified the IRS that CBS would like to will be there. He didn't say they would like to. He said they'll be there. The IRS backed off. They canceled the meeting. They turned it over to their information officer at the Jacksonville office. He said, no way, you know, and so forth. So they backed off. What will happen, I don't know. But getting back to the question about the reaction to the USA Today ads, clearly they're having an effect. The current issue of Forbes magazine has on the cover, How to Cheat on Your Taxes. The article talks about the employers as tax cheats. This is their party line. This is the dominant media's party line, obviously. They talk about them as tax cheats, that their arguments are frivolous and bizarre. It's all been settled by the courts. All these generalities, all the rhetoric, but no specifics.
But it's also a lie. Nothing's been settled. I mean, the courts say it's a political question. The politicians say it's a judicial question. And that's really the whole purpose of the Wallace Institute's Bill Benson thing in Oklahoma.
Precisely. And of course, so you're right. The issue of the fraudulent adoption of the 16th Amendment has never been litigated. The court said this question of fraud is a political question. Since when is fraud a political question? The court should have addressed it, but they didn't. They passed it off to Congress. Congress, you know, lateraled it back to the court. And so we've got this governmental ping pong going on while we have legitimate questions about the validity, the constitutionality of the income tax.
Well, the Oklahoma suit's going to stop the ball from bouncing for a little bit. I want to take a brief pause when we come back. I want you to explain this walk-around protest you have scheduled for April 9th.
Sure enough.
Bob Schultz, our guest from We the People. We'll come back in a moment. I'll also open the phone lines for you if you have questions for him at 877-456-6789. 877-456-6789. I'm Jeff Metcalf. About 15 minutes before the top of the hour. Time goes too rapidly when these topics we want to spend time on. Bob Schultz is with We the People. You can find them online at www.givemeliberty.org. And on April 9th, what are you doing, Bob?
Well, we're going to encircle the IRS headquarters building. This is our intent. This walk-around, we call it, comes as a result of the agency's continued evasion of the allegations of fraud and the illegal operations of the income tax system.
They hope if they ignore it, it'll go away, and you're telling them it ain't going to go away.
Right. We're going to people from all over the country, and we invite your listeners to please take the day. Give the country a day. Give your country a day. Make the sacrifice. Be in Washington for the IRS walk-around. This is the vision.
Well, you need 1,400 people to circle the whole building.
Right. This is the vision. 1,400 people walking two abreast with a yard between pairs. We figured out, we've made the computations, it takes 1,400 people to completely encircle the headquarters, the IRS headquarters complex. There's more than one building involved. And we'd like to get at least 1,040 participants, but we need 1,400 to completely encircle the building with a yard between pairs. Each participant wearing a navy blue windbreaker with the words in large gold block letters on the back, Tyranny Response Team. It is tyranny when the government takes a step outside the boundary that we have drawn around its power and takes possession of this boundless field of power, doing whatever they want to do, not feeling as though they are not limited by the written Constitution. That's tyranny. And the people, I mean, it's our duty, it's our responsibility, it's our heritage to respond to tyranny whenever and wherever we find it. So So we
now the three branches of government were comfortable in ignoring your remonstrance.
Mm-hmm.
The mainstream media hasn't done jack spit to cover any of this stuff, notwithstanding the compelling evidence presented and the cast of characters. I mean, Joe Bannister is a poster child here. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better spokesperson.
But, Jeff, something's changing. All the dominant media, all of them are now mentioning, on TV and in the print media, they're all mentioning the USA Today ads. They're all mentioning this tax honesty movement. They're all saying something has changed. We have a lot of people here who are middle class, well-educated, with a lot to lose, taking the position that filing of the income tax and withholding of the income tax from employees' paychecks is not legally required. And the movement is clearly growing. They're recognizing it. And so, but while we continue to step up the pressure in terms of these the public information and education campaign in the USA Today and other media, dominant media, we need to show that we continue to be interested in having the government sit down with these tax researchers and debate and discuss the issues in a public forum where the people can then listen to both sides and make up their minds as to where the truth lies. So this will be, once again, we've now invited Rosati, IRS Commissioner Rosati, to, at 11:30 on the 9th, to meet with those who are walking around his headquarters, encircling his building, to meet and comment upon some of the allegations which have been presented to him by Bannister, by Benson, by Conklin, and by our organization during the last 2 years, and to explain the agency's position or to attend the walk-around long enough to at least tell the group assembled when the experts at the IRS would be available to meet with tax researchers in a public forum to explain where they are in error.
The year 2914. Everett Dirksen once said, yeah, and it was true of politicians, and I've seen a lot of evidence of this, yeah, they really don't see the light, mm-hmm, until they feel the heat. And hopefully you folks can continue to ratchet up the thermostat a little bit so that eventually they'll be compelled, mm-hmm, to respond in some way. Bob, stay with me. We're going to take a brief pause, and we'll come back and we'll wrap things up. Sure. Bob Schultz from We the People. Check out the website, www.givemeliberty.org. 6 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to get bit by time, but we've been speaking with Bob Schultz from We the People. You want to check him out online at www.givemeliberty.org. Bob, what do you expect is going to happen in April?
Well, we're certainly going to, hopefully we'll get publicity on the issues. We'll be educating, through that publicity, we'll be educating scores of millions of citizens about the fraudulent nature of the income tax system and the recalcitrance of the...
Let me ask you, you're starting to make some inroads, at least with Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Has Hannity and Combs, have they suggested bringing you and maybe Rosati on the air?
Well, it's interesting. Just a few nights ago, I forget, it's been a blur around here, Jeff, with activity, but NBC, the NBC affiliate in Baltimore, Kwaisi Mfumi, the head of the
NAACP,
he was a congressman.
Mm-hmm.
He hosts a show on the NBC affiliate in Baltimore. His show is taped every Tuesday night before a live studio audience and then aired on Saturday night. So tomorrow night will be aired in Baltimore. Now, he flew myself down and Sherry Jackson from the ex-IRS agent who resigned along with Bannister and John Turner and others. He flew her up from Atlanta, and we had John Kottmeyer on as well. And they had a leading tax attorney, major tax attorney from Baltimore on the show as well. And he hosted the show. Clearly, the issue is getting the attention of the media. But he had invited. He started the show by saying that Commissioner Rosati was expected, and at the last minute, in his words, wimped out.
Now, this is a former congressman and the head of the NAACP.
Right. Saying that on his show that I was at on Tuesday night, that Rosati was invited, had said he would be there. But at the last minute, according to Mr. Mfumi, the commissioner had wimped out, decided not to show.
I've had the same thing happen when people from the Federal Reserve have offered to come on my program, and then somebody they found out who they were talking to.
Mm. Well, it's just, you see, it's another evasion, another example of this continuous pattern of evasion.
Well, like Ronald Reagan once said, yeah, they can run, but they can't hide.
Well, at some point, our position is this. We're justified, given their failure to show at our four conferences, their failure to answer Joe Bannister when he submitted his report asking for answers, their failure to respond to Benson. The American people, we're certainly justified in running these ads and justified in walking around and putting that kind of pressure on the IRS, walking around their headquarters building on April 9th. And if they continue to evade, then clearly the American people are justified in taking the position that every individual living in America can ignore the requirements of the Internal Revenue Code with all of its regulations because it's violative of the Constitution.
Bob, I got to thank you very, very kindly for being with us. I'll repeat the website. But we're...